Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Genuine Chit Chat. This week is part two of my chat with my girlfriend, Megan. Now, if you haven't listened to part one, I'd really recommend you go back and check that out. It was a great one where we talk about our pet tortoise and things like that and our trip to Italy. So it's a really good one to go alongside this, obviously. But if you haven't watched it, no problem at all. In this part, we speak about hymns and from sort of like Catholic school and things like that, including one called the Harvest Song. We speak about sort of memories from school in sort of like other ways, and we speak about a quick talk on bees and honey farms, and we speak about the movie Joker. We don't say any spoilers or anything like that. We talk about Warwick Davis a little bit because our tortoise is called Wicket, which is a female version of the name Wicket, which is the Ewok that Warwick Davis played in Star Wars Episode 6. It's the main Ewok, the main little teddy bear thing in the 6th episode of Star Wars Return of the Jedi, if you're not already aware. We speak about horror films a little bit more on The Shining, and we speak about how we met and sort of oversharing on relationships on social media, what meeting people in clubs is like and things like that, and online dating and stuff. And we speak about a few other things as well, but I won't sort of ramble on for too long. Now, before the chat gets started, there's a quick promo for the West Bind podcast. So, you know, be sure to check those guys out after this. I've got a link in the description. And a quick reminder that I did guest on the Brave Files, one of the most recent episodes, about my dad passing away. If you enjoyed the 24th episode of Genuine Chit Chat, if you've been listening for that long, that was when I spoke with my brother about the passing of my dad. This is one in a slightly different way of talking about how it sort of affected me as a person. We speak about other subjects as well, but that's the main theme. So yeah, that's on the Brave Files, number 86. And that is in the description as well. So without further ado, I'm rambling on. Here's the chat, and don't forget that I'll be back at the end to talk about sort of what's coming up and just a few other little bits and pieces. I normally ramble on a little bit more at the end, so if you like that sort of thing, stay tuned for that. So thanks always for listening, guys, and I'll talk to you then.
Do you like dark humor? Do you like sex?
Do you like talk about random things look back on with nostalgia?
Or new stuff viewed through the eyes of a couple of degenerates who are most likely dependent on intoxicants?
Well, we hope you don't like sex, because we definitely don't have that part. Welcome to a show with more shit talk than a German porno.
Oh, man.
We're Westbine. Join us every week on Wednesday for our live stream on Facebook. And if you don't want to watch, then you can hear us on Google Play, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. Facebook.com/Westbine Show or westbine.podbean.com.
Welcome to Genuine Chit Chat, where we have honest conversations with interesting people. And I'm your host, Mike Burton.
That's what I like about Catholic, though, is that there are more songs.
Yeah.
It's nice.
There's so many slow ones, I just really don't like.
Yeah, a lot of them are like dirges. Is that the right word? The funeral march song, dirge?
I couldn't actually tell you. I genuinely wouldn't know.
I think a dirge is a slow song.
It definitely could be.
I'm going to look it up.
I prefer the more sort of upbeat things. Like the, I don't necessarily like this song, but it's one that I used to dislike the least, which was he's got the whole world in his hands.
Yeah, no. And also, beautiful. Yeah, a dirge is a lament for the dead, especially one forming...
Lament.
Is a lament for the dead, especially one forming part of a funeral rite. So it's a mournful song.
I see. Yeah, I think there's a song called The Devil's Lament, I think, or something like that.
Well.
Well.
It is what it is, isn't it?
Yeah. But
I like the more upbeat songs. I like the Harvest Song.
The Harvest Song?
Yeah. You know, the Harvest Song. It's like...
I might know it.
Cauliflower, broccoli, cabbage and beans. I don't know. It's that tune. I can't remember how it goes.
How can you bring it up? You're going to make God sad.
No, but this isn't about God. This is the Harvest Song.
This is everything about God. I'm talking about, you know, being in our... It's funny that we're both the religion that we sort of know the most about and we're most associated with is Catholicism, which is quite interesting.
It's because Catholics rule.
Well, obviously do not identify as a Catholic. I do not believe that there is necessarily a God in that form. Maybe some sort of ethereal being that started everything off, but I don't think it's a sort of conscious thing that's kind of like creating everything and knows everyone's communicated with humans. I think it's just a sort of vague energy, potentially. I don't even know if it's alive.
Yeah, I'm trying to find this song.
You're trying to find a song?
Yeah, it's the Harvest Song.
You're just trying to find the lyrics. You're going to play the song.
Oh, yeah, no. It goes, Cauliflower's fluffy and cabbage is green. Did you not do this?
Well, how's the chorus go?
The apples are ripe and the plums are red. The broad beans are sleeping in their blankety bed.
I don't think I've ever heard that.
It's a banger. When Pete and I used to live together, every so often we'd be like, should we listen to the Harvest song? And we'd play it.
Wow.
It's called Cauliflower's Fluffy.
If Sabre's a player, I'll listen to it after that. I probably hate it.
Nah, it's going to go on repeat on your Spotify.
Yes. Add it to our playlist. But it's just, yeah, I when I was younger, I especially didn't like hymns. I was just having to do them all the time.
Yeah, I can imagine that if you went to a Catholic school, it probably wasn't the best. I mean, I remember every not Sunday. Liking my preschool because it was really religious. Baron, like, huh?
Was that nuns?
Yeah, yeah. So my preschool was in Italy because I was born there and I lived there till I was four. And yeah, my preschool, my kindergarten was run by nuns. And I remember that I don't have many memories of living in Italy, but
Where'd you move from Italy?
Four. I was four.
Did you? And when did you go? You went back there quite a bit when you were younger, though, I assume.
Yeah, yeah. We used to go back like loads when I was younger. Yeah. So all of my memories of being at preschool are negative. I remember the nuns being really mean. Hmm. I don't have any positive memories of being at preschool.
I've only got a very few vague memories.
Yeah, they're all very faded.
Yeah, I'll probably forget them in a few more years.
Right.
Off I go.
No.
I don't know. It's a weird thing, memory and stuff, isn't it? Because it's all in the moonlight. Is that what you just said? Yes.
It's all alone in the moonlight. It's the song.
All Alone in the Moonlight.
Yeah, from Cats.
I haven't seen Cats.
Yeah, but it's a really famous song.
Other people listening may know the song. You excited for the movie coming out with strange cat people?
I am excited, but the Cats also kind of freak me out in the weird live action thing that they've done.
The Taylor Swift one's probably the weirdest.
Yeah, but I mean, you know.
And that's the end of Cats.
I am excited to see it. It should be good. It's got quite a lot of good people in it.
Yeah, I've seen the reviews.
Isn't it? There's James Corden. There's
a fat cat.
Uh-huh.
There's a fat cat. He's got a belly.
Yeah, he does have a belly.
There's that.
Then there's Taylor Swift. There's Jason Mraz.
Derulo.
Yeah, Jason Derulo. Hmm. There's
the main woman.
There's that black woman, and I can't remember her name.
See, I can remember her name. That's why I didn't say that. Megan, what have you done?
I can picture her in my head. She plays the old cat. The one that sings the song that I'm referencing.
You can't not name her now. Just call her that.
You need to like hire a bloody producer to do this stuff for you so that I don't have to sit here.
Get like a young Jamie.
Yeah, just get like an apprentice.
Well, I would normally do it myself, but you know.
You could do it yourself. You're just being lazy.
Yeah.
What am I looking for? Cats cast. It's Jennifer Hudson. She's not old.
Jennifer Hudson. Let me see.
I think they make her look a bit older in the film.
What other films is she in?
She's predominantly a singer.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
She was in Dreamgirls.
Oh, I've heard of that. I haven't seen it.
Have you? Have you really?
Mm.
She was in The Secret Life of Bees. I didn't know that there was a film version of The Secret Life of Bees.
A film version of The Secret Life of Bees?
I've read the book.
Oh, I have no idea what it is.
I can't really remember, but it's not really about bees.
I would assume
it's
not.
About a girl that like runs away from home, I think, and ends up living on like a bee farm and making honey. And it's why are you laughing? I don't know what a bee farm's called.
You don't farm the bees.
Yeah, but bees do stuff. What's it called? Tell me what it's called.
It's cool.
Can you think of anything apart from bee farm?
It's not a farm, but it's like obviously because they're hives of bees, but it's like beekeeping, isn't it?
Yeah, I know it's beekeeping, but that's not the place. You wouldn't say I'm going to the beekeep.
Well, maybe that's the maybe person. Maybe it's a honey farm then.
I think it might be a honey farm actually.
A honey farm, or a bee honey farm, because like the honey from bees.
Yeah, they're called honey farm. What is a bee farm called? Beekeepers also called honey farmers. That doesn't answer my question.
Yeah, so
it's a honey farm.
There you go.
Also known as a bee farm.
I don't think anyone calls them bee farms.
It said that online.
Okay.
And Google knows everything. I love you, Google.
We sold it.
Google's always listening. That's why we didn't have our Amazon Echo. We sold it.
Yeah, we got our free. Oh wait, we shouldn't say that. Maybe. Oh no, I'm joking. We got an Amazon Echo. We just sold it. We got it free with a deal thing, and we both got wireless speakers of our own. Mine's a little cheap thing from the range, like 20 quid. Yours like a JVC gift from your brother.
Yeah, I literally don't know what that speaker is. All I know is that it plays music when I connect it to Bluetooth. It's
a Bluetooth JVC cylindrical sort of speaker. It's really, really good. Mine's alright, but mine's like a sort of festival one.
I don't really know why my brother bought it. Like, if you ever hear this, I love that present and I'm glad that you bought it, but I didn't need a speaker, but I do love it nonetheless and it's great. I used it when I went to Mexico. Yeah, I have used it quite a few times now.
Festivals, and also when we had barbecues and stuff.
Yeah, we have used it a fair amount.
It will last for a while. It's going to last like at least 5 years, probably 10 years. At least
20,000 years.
20,000 years. Yeah. Mm.
At least as long as Wicket is alive.
Yeah, the name of our tortoise. Because if we find it's a male, it's Wicket. But if it's a female, it's Wicket.
She's still sleeping.
Yeah. She buried herself nice, and I think she likes the fact
she's got a special spot. She's got a special spot.
Yeah, just there's this bit of driftwood that kind of looks like a collarbone almost sort of shape.
Mm. She likes to snuggle in behind it.
Yeah, she like digs underneath. It's cute. But yeah, she's only like her top of her shell's kind of showing.
Yeah, she's proper snugged in.
Yeah, she's cute. But yeah, so the Wicket, because I think I said it in the podcast anyway. Also, I was going to say, with movies, because we were talking about that, cats and stuff, Joker, I haven't really spoken about that on the podcast at all. Mm. You and I went and saw it recently.
I thought it was shit. No, I'm joking. It was great. It was a very, we'll very good. We'll say
no spoilers, film. Obviously, just to clarify any people.
Oh, so this is what happens. No, the spoilers. Joker eats a mouse and then he cries because he ate it and that's what makes him crazy. Mm. Spoiler alert. No, it was a really good film. I liked it. And Mike was surprised that I liked it because apparently all I like is Disney films.
I didn't say that at all. You like Disney films. You like Disney films and obviously rom-coms. You do like other cool films as well. But I didn't... When you hadn't watched certain films, I would... And like when I've said to you about you haven't seen The Matrix, and it's like I've
seen bits of it.
Yeah, but that doesn't work. And then you thought you didn't like it. I was like, but you can't
remember anything. I've never said that I don't like The Matrix. I don't remember anything about it.
Yeah, and it's like we watched something else. I can't remember. We haven't actually watched that many serious things together, I suppose. That's probably why.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Basically, it was Star Wars, with like stuff. Lighthearted series.
Yeah, Star Wars, which Mike made me watch.
Yeah, but you said you want to watch it as well.
He forced me to watch it.
Oh, nicely done. But no, are you actually excited for episode 9 out of interest? I'm not going to talk about episode 9 loads, I'm just interested.
Yeah, I'm glad because I tend to zone out when you start talking about Star Wars quite a lot of the time. To be brutally honest,
I know. But you do retain a lot of the information though, actually.
Yeah, I do. I do remember a lot of stuff about Star Wars now, and I hate myself for it. Every single day when someone at work for some reason is having a conversation about Star Wars, I get involved and then I think, why do I do this to myself?
You love it. It's actually kind of fun just talking about nerdy stuff like that.
People don't like my opinions. People don't like the ratings that I put the films in.
Oh, it's mainly one film in particular that you...
All right, guys, I'm going to say it.
Get embarrassed.
My least favorite is episode 2, and that is rightly so, because a lot of people shocking. Feel that
way. I think episode 1's worse personally, but I love episode 2, but... You know, it's not one of the best. It's not one of the best, but I really like it.
But my least favorite. Episode 2 is my least favorite. My second least favorite is episode 5. And then everyone gets really, really mad at me.
Come on, why would you say that on air?
Every time I've had a conversation about it, people get absolutely livid with me.
Empire's like the best, almost objectively the best Star Wars.
Okay, but I think let me justify myself.
That you fell asleep in the middle of the film and I had to rewind it.
Is this the one where it's the one where he's just doing yoga with Yoda. Yeah, so they go onto the Dagobah system.
Go to the Dagobah system.
And it annoys me because I know what the Dagobah system is. And so they go there and then bloody Luke Skywalker's just running around with Yoda and doing handstands. And then Yoda's sitting on his feet.
Yeah, but that's the thing is...
basically what happens for the whole of the show, the film. And then, granted, yes, I did know what already happened because I have seen that film before. But then when it gets to the end bit, I'm assuming I'm allowed to say what happens at the end of this film because it's been out for so long.
Yeah, if anyone hasn't seen Star Wars 1 out and is intending to, maybe skip for like a few seconds ahead. But, you know, you probably should know
this
by now.
This is a real spoiler alert.
For a film from like 1979, I think it was.
An old film.
Or 1980.
Then, obviously... Darth Vader says, Luke, I am your father. But I remember...
He just says, no, I am your father.
Oh, get over it. But I remember watching that bit with Mike and then saying, oh, this is the bit where he says he's his dad. And Mike was like, what? I was like, yeah, this is the bit that says it, where he says it's his dad, isn't it? And he was like, I'm not going to tell you. And I was like, yeah, it is, because I recognize it from Toy Story 2. So spoiler alert if you haven't seen Toy Story 2. Because that's also the same ending of the film.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's a brilliant parody of it. But that's what, like, when we saw the trailer for The Shining, you know, the new one, the Doctor Sleep. And it's like, you and I, like, I watched The Shining about five, 6 years ago. So I would have been about 1920, I think, when I watched The Shining. And that film, I think, was out in the 80s, maybe early 90s, but I think it was late 80s.
It's just so referenced.
Yeah, it's so referenced. Like, I saw the Simpson one several times before seeing that. I saw several other parodies. I've seen at least three.
It's still being referenced. So I've got one kid in my tutor group that is particularly naughty. He's a naughty kid, and he ran past the music teacher's window yelling, "Here's Jimmy!"
Oh, amazing.
And then the teacher was like, he got into trouble because he was disturbing her class. So she told him off and then said to him, if you're going to reference it, at least get it correct. It's his Johnny, not his Jimmy.
His kid's name not Jimmy?
No, he was just referencing. The kid's name's not Jimmy. No.
Oh, okay. I thought
he was referencing the thing, but he got the name wrong.
Oh, I see. Yeah, it's referenced so many different things. Like in the Honest trailer, it shows like several like supercuts of like
what
he being said. Yeah, it's that says the problem with that. And it's like there's certain older films as well where like, I've seen really old horror films like Nightmare on Elm Street. Have you seen that, the original?
I've not seen that. I haven't seen any of them, but I know what it's about. It's about someone that goes into people's dreams, isn't it?
Yeah, and he kills them in the dreams, you die in real life sort of thing. It kind of, as you die, if you like get stabbed, you'll wake up being, and you'll have been stabbed. So it's that sort of kind of thing. A bit more to it than that, but yeah. And I saw the remake, and I really liked it, and apparently everyone hated it. And I watched the original, and I didn't like it that much. But the problem is, I watched... Can hear someone thumping some music.
Someone's having a party upstairs.
Yeah. So if you can hear a slight bassy thumping, that's what that is. There's a bit in Nightmare on Elm Street where he's walking down like an alleyway and his arms are really, really, really long. Like, and they look like accordions, like the middle bits.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah. Yeah.
Like that sort of effect and stuff. I remember seeing that. I was like, this isn't scary at all. And there's a bit where a character gets eaten by a bed. Like in the first.
That's been referenced as well.
Yeah, yeah. That's why I mentioned it in all the other ones. Like, it's like. It's one of the characters. Oh, I won't say exactly who it is, just in case someone hasn't seen the film, just to ruin it. But he gets sucked into
we're spoiling so many films today.
A bed, yeah, and it's almost like the bed's like a blender. So you just fall in there, and then the bed just then shoots out blood everywhere, and they're gone. It's like, okay, it's like that's not.
I'm going to do that to you tonight.
Being eaten by just a bed tube that isn't got any teeth, or isn't like if it's a bed that's like snarling at you, like launching itself at you, all made of teeth and things, that is terrifying. If it's just it sucks you in, you're gone. It's like, okay.
Yeah, I mean. Horror films aren't really my jam. I'll watch them, but they're not my jam.
We watched The Ritual the other day. That's
yeah, and cool. I was tense for the entire thing.
I can't wait to show you Blair Witch Project.
This is the thing, right? Okay, so my hand's going.
Your hand's going up for all these listeners who are watching the secret video recording. No, there's no.
So this is the thing, is that I am fine to watch films that, like, have gore. I'm okay to watch films that have gore, depending on what the gore is.
Yeah.
I'm fine. So with stuff like Drag Me to Hell, I'm fine with that kind of film. That concept's fine. I don't like films that put me on edge. Like I hate jump scare. Like, I mean, It Chapter 1 and Chapter 2.
Yeah.
I liked both of them. But I hate jump scare films. I don't like being made jump.
Yeah.
And I hate films that have that level of, we're going to keep you on your toes because you don't know what's going to happen. Because then I'm just on edge the entire film.
Yeah.
Like, I just feel tense and then nothing happens. And then that makes me feel even more tense because something hasn't happened and I think it's going to happen. And then the music changes and it becomes really sinister and eerie and it's in a horrible minor key. And then it, like, you're like, oh shit, nah, something's going to happen now. It's going to happen now. This is going to be the moment. And then it fucking doesn't. And then you're just like, oh my God, like, I'm just so on edge. That's the point. It finally happens and it scares the shit out of me.
That's the point. That's the
thrill. I hate it. Like at The Ritual, when we watched The Ritual, I could see your brother looking at me because he was like, oh, something's going to happen. He was like, he was waiting for my reaction. But I swear a lot of the time he was just looking at me to make me feel worse.
Yeah.
Oh, I hated it.
Do you actually? So, did you enjoy watching
them? I enjoyed watching it, but I don't like feeling on edge. So, like with the Blair Witch Project, I told my PT that we were going to watch the Blair Witch Project, and he was just like, "Oh, if you didn't like The Ritual, you're not going to like that. It's literally a film of you being on edge." And I was like, "No."
But you say you don't like films with jump scares.
I don't. I'm not a massive fan of jump scares.
What do you like? That's why you don't like horror there very much. Because
I don't really like horror that much.
No, it's surprising.
The only reason I saw It Chapter One was because my brother didn't have anyone else to go with, so I went with him. And that's the same with Evil Dead. It was
so good.
I wouldn't have ever gone to see that unless my brother had asked me to go with him.
But did you enjoy it?
I did, but there was one part where it was a bit too gory for me.
It's a nail gun.
Yeah, it was the nail gun getting shot into the guy's face. I was like, ooh.
Have you seen the Final Destination movies?
I've seen one of them.
Right.
Is there a five? I think it's five. Yeah, it's five. I think I've seen Final Destination 5.
I've seen 1, 2, and 3. About
I went on
four,
a date
five.
To see it at the cinema.
I really don't get when it's like, was it a first date or like?
It was a first date.
I've never understood first dates being in cinema. It's like, hey, do you want to basically come with me?
It was loud food
in the dark and not say anything to each other for like 2 hours.
It was
like,
a first date with someone that I knew. It was someone from school.
Oh, that's slightly different.
He was like the year above me, but. Yeah, it was a weird.
Yeah, I wouldn't choose. Obviously, with our first date, you know, I treated you to a nice 67 bottle of Buxton water.
He knows how to treat a lady, everyone.
And a pack of Wonka's Nerds. Which
we got some Nerds from an American sweet shop.
Yeah, we got some Sour Patch Kids. You got some Nerds and a bottle of water. And we just wandered about for, what was it, like 4 or 5 hours?
It was quite a long time. I think we met up at 7. And then I think I didn't leave to go home until about 11:30.
Yeah.
I like looked at my watch. Oh, well, I don't wear a watch. I looked at my phone. And I was like, oh, crap, it's 11:30. I should probably go because I need to get up for work in like 6 hours.
Yeah, that was a... You just wandered about. It's like, it's the best way to get to know someone. Because like, I've... I'm trying to think how many... I've only been on 3 dates from online. Yeah. So... It's, you know, one was Sophie's been the podcast and one was just someone else that I kind of went on a couple of dates with and kind of hung out with a bit, but
it's always weird going on dates with people that you've met on like dating apps, like, so obviously we met on Tinder, but it's always weird when you meet up with them for the first time. You're just like, oh god, I don't know if you're going to be like I've met up with quite a few people,
yeah,
and they have been nothing like the personality that you get across through the device, because obviously either they're so much more nervous in person or they just don't really know, or they're just socially awkward. Their like messaging is so much like on point, like there's so much like banter and you're getting on and you like bounce off each other loads, and then in person it's just like falls flat. It's like, okay then.
Yeah, it's sad when that happens, because there's like sometimes when you have, you can have a bit more time between messages, like, because if I ask you a question now, especially if it's recorded or I can edit it out, but like now it's like, what's your answer? And it's like, you don't get time to think. But in a message, if you get like 2 or 3 minutes, most questions you have an
answer to in
2 or 3 minutes.
It, can't you?
Yeah, you just go, if they go, oh, how are you today? And instead of just going, I'm fine. Or they're just going, I don't know. They can go, okay, well, I did this and this and this. That's not very interesting, but I'll say that. Like, you can...
Yeah, you think about what you're going to say. But also, like, you talk to people and you're like, oh, you seem really nice. And you met with them and you're like, yeah, you are really nice. And then there's just like one thing about their character that is just a massive no.
Yeah.
Like there was, I think the first person that I ever met up with on Tinder, he is one of the nicest people I've ever met in my life. He is lovely. But he was just too much.
Yeah.
Like, I remember my friend Becky came to visit me at uni and he was like, oh, you're going to introduce me to her? And I was like, well... Why? It's like, I think we'd met up maybe like 5 times at this point.
Yeah.
And I was just like, why would I introduce you to her? And he was like, well, I'm your boyfriend. I was like, no, you're not. I was like, no. I was like, mate, I'm just seeing how this is going. Like, it was just way, way too much. And then I remember, I think I saw him on the Sunday and then we planned to meet up again on the Wednesday. And he was like, oh, that's so long. I can't wait that long to see you again. I was like, it's literally 3 days. It's like 3 days is not a long time.
Yeah, it's very intense going
for someone that you don't know that well. Like, obviously if I didn't see you for 3 days, I'd be like, oh, I'm really upset about that.
Yeah, because we live together.
But we live together and we've been together for over a year, so it's slightly different to someone that you've been dating for like maybe 2 weeks.
Yeah. too intense sort of thing to, yeah, that's one thing I've never really been. Obviously I like affection and I like it when you know them, exactly as you said, but it's just like when you first meet someone, if they're immediately clingy, it's like, obviously
It just doesn't bode well for the future.
When you first meet someone, it's almost like a closed flower, isn't it? Like, you get the vague idea of what they're sort of like, and then as you get to know them more, the flower kind of opens, you kind of see what's actually inside. And it's like, if you're a certain intensity in a certain way, like if we met when we did, and I was as talkative as I am sort of now in our relationship a lot of the time, if I go off on one about stuff, if I did that on our first date, you may have been a bit put off being like, what, he's like this already. Now, if I get to know him more, it's probably going to make him more into that kind of person.
You are a chatty boy.
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, for that guy that was too much for me, he got a girlfriend maybe like 3 or 4 months after that. He met someone new.
Yeah.
Somebody else. And they've been together since. Like, they've been together since 2015. Mm-hmm. So, obviously, he found the other person, and the amount of like things that I've seen her tag him in on Facebook, she's obviously equally as intense in that regard.
Yeah.
So they've both found each other that like bounce off of each other, and it's fine.
Yeah, you do get some.
It was just
like
too
that.
Much for me.
You do get some people like that, and they both are just like, you know, not in this exact specific way, but that sort of thing where they wear like matching t-shirts when they go abroad, which say like, "I'm with him, I'm with her."
I'm gonna get us like, some of them.
No, thank you. and you know that
I'm with stupid.
obviously. Facebook posts or whatever saying that you care about the other person, you're sure, I obviously don't necessarily do that very often, because it's just
not necessary. You don't need to do it all the time. Like, I do it from time to time, but
I'm much more like, I'm not one for PDA that much, and that's both on social media and here. Like, I've posted, I can't remember when it was a while ago, I made some sort of post with a picture of you and said, you know, favorite person in the world, that sort of thing, but I'm not like,
I think that might have been Valentine's Day.
Yeah, it's like, I don't just post constantly every couple of weeks, oh my god, had the best weekend ever.
Oh my god, it's our 1 year and 28 day anniversary.
Yeah, it's like, but there's some people who post semi-regularly with each other saying they're happy, and that's fine. I've got no huge issue with that. It's just with me, I'm like, I don't.
Also, the thing is that it's all fake. Like, obviously I am really happy with you, but obviously in all relationships there are arguments. Like, I'm not gonna be the one person to be like, Mike and I never argue.
Nope,
it's literally perfect. We never argue.
Never
like
argue.
We argue from time to time. Of course we argue.
Well, yeah.
But like, the thing is that I'm not gonna post on Facebook, ah, Mark was being a massive dick. Like, obviously I'm only gonna post the nice pictures. Like, if I have like a really shit headache, I'm not gonna paste a picture of me with a headache and like I've wet flannel on my forehead.
Yeah.
I'm going to post about the fact that I got a fucking tortoise. Like,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, you know, if I post, I don't really post very much on social media that much anymore, like as in as much as I used to, because obviously now I do genuine chit chat. I have to make a post interesting and write hashtags, blah. And so it's like, I don't, my own personal things, I don't put up pictures of you on genuine chit chat very often. If there's like there's a Halloween one where you're obviously there, and there's occasion we're at a place and I take a photo of us being,
Mike doesn't care about me enough.
Well, see, not everyone, people follow me on Instagram and stuff don't want to see constant pictures of just you and me saying how amazing.
I beg to differ.
We'll see how this episode goes. After
let's put a poll. Like a million.
Yeah. Go on Facebook, do the reaction faces, or do a poll on actual Twitter.
Do a heart if you think she's fit.
But do a duck if you think she's beautiful.
And do a thumbs down if you think she's munted. All the thumbs downs.
Oh, Megan, look at Cecilia, you're gorgeous. But yeah, it's just the thing is when people post this sort of things online is like, it doesn't matter how stable your relationship is. It's really, really easy to just post online saying everything's fine.
I think a lot of people use it, though, is if their relationship is bad, they post a lot of pictures online to make people think that their relationship is fine.
I wonder if that's like a therapy thing, for like a therapeutic thing for them, where they're like, me posting this and people thinking we're fine gives me the strength to kind of be like, okay, maybe he's a dick or maybe she's a pain. Mm. But I, in my personal thing, it's just like, sometimes you see relationships together, you know, and there's certain people who, everyone knows certain people who are in relationships with other people, and you're like, I don't really think you guys are the best suited.
Yeah.
But it's one of those weird things, isn't it, where it's like, you can't ever do anything about it. If someone posts online, if their relationship's a bit, you know, unstable, for lack of a better word, and they're posting loads online, you're not just going to message them and say, your relationship's shit, where the hell are you posting that stuff? You're like, Jesus fuck.
You're lying to everyone.
Yeah, how dare. And they'd be like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Like, I mean, at the end of the day, if you have a friend that's in a bad relationship, like, there's only so much you can say and so much advice you can give.
I mean, most of it's just watching it happen and be like,
but like, realistically, it has to come from that person. They're not going to make any choice.
Yeah.
That's not their own. Like, they want to do what they want to do. So there's only so much you can say.
Yeah, with a lot of major, there's certain people who are very easy manipulated and influenced, but generally speaking, firework.
I love fireworks.
Generally speaking, it's like most people, if you try and tell them to do something, then they, as you say, they won't want to do it. And if it's something really big and personal, they will not take people's advice. They can do what they want anyway. You know, it's things like people getting tattoos, people who have got drug addictions, people who are in bad relationships, people who are in a job they hate and they just complain about it constantly and never leave or change anything. So all these little things that come together, it's like a lot of these things you can tell your mate, oh, just get a new job if you hate it so much. And they go, yeah, well, and they come up with some excuse and they're just in that.
It's just because people get into a routine and they don't want to leave the routine because that's scarier than staying with what they've got.
Yeah, I kind of... It's almost
like people that stay in jobs that they absolutely hate. It's like they hate it, but they're more scared of what would happen if they don't have that job anymore.
Yeah, they kind of... They normally... Relationship, obviously, is that jobs are...
And also people get comfortable as well. So you can hate that job, but if you know every single in and out of that job, then, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I understand that. But I just kind of feel like if you're spending most of your time there, it's
I agree with you. If I hated the school that I worked at, I wouldn't work there. I'd find a different school.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And the same with me. Like, I worked at a place called Utilita, one for me. So I just decided to, you know, change jobs. That's what I did. I only worked there for a short period of time, which wasn't... I didn't really enjoy it as much as I thought I would, so... And I'm really happy now. So it's just like, sometimes though, you got to do the scary thing. It's like relationships. I've been in relationships before where I felt like, at points, they were really potentially going somewhere. And then other points where I'm like, oh no, they're not. And I had to break them off. And all my big relationships I've had to end. And that's really difficult to do. Even if the harder ones have been in times where it's like, I'm still into them, but it's just... I know it's not going to work, that sort of feeling, and it's like, it's a weird feeling. And you do that, and it's that scary a lot of the time as well, because you're like, what if they were the one? Obviously, I know in this context that it's not, but like, you
all
know.
All right, Mike, I'll just leave, shall I?
But, you know, if they were like, you know, you're thinking, were they? Or maybe I was being too harsh, maybe this, maybe that. And it's like, it is that kind of pressure in a sense. But like with jobs, it's like, you can kind of work at Lidl for a while, and then move up to the other thing. And I suppose people can do that with relationships.
The experience that you've got, and you use that to find whatever you want next.
I think being single now is a little bit easier than it was before.
I don't know. I mean, obviously, it is easier to access now, because obviously there's so many more different methods of being able to date. Like, so in Italy, they're kind of backwards. Like, obviously, they have Tinder in Italy.
Yeah.
But, like, as in, like, with progression of stuff, they're kind of, they're outdated a little bit in Italy. So like when people, like when I went there, when we went there last week, it was when Mike met like my family and my friends in Italy, and loads of them asked, oh, how did you meet? And I was like, oh, like online. I met them online. And they were all just shocked, because that's not really how people meet each other still in Italy. They still go out to bars and meet each other that way. I think like here now it is, yeah, easier to access, but then at the same time, there are a lot of people that go on to stuff like Tinder that actually want to find a relationship, where the majority of people on there are just looking to find sex. And that's absolutely fine if that's what you want. But it is annoying for those people that are looking to find some sort of relationship, because then realistically, what are they going to have to do? Go onto like match.com and buy an account, because there are still dickheads on there.
Yeah. Yeah. My mum, before she met my now stepdad, she was, after dad passed away, dated and stuff. Obviously I had no problem with that. And she went online and she went to the ones that were paid, and she was like, there's still people on there who are like,
really... Well, yeah, but I did that as well. Cause I went onto match.com and I found more nut jobs on there than I did on Tinder.
Yeah.
And that's me paying for it. I thought, oh, if I pay for it, then I'll probably find some more serious people. But people who haven't paid can still message you. So you still have to like kind of filter through the shit. I met one nice person on match.com.
Yeah, it's it is a weird... It's different now, I suppose, than it was. Not easier or harder in some ways. Because like, I just always found that trying to meet someone in the bar, you have to walk up to them out of the blue, and they're probably... They're not there. You don't know if they're waiting for someone to talk to them. Like, you know, we know people who...
It's just kind of awkward like when people come up to you in a bar. Most people
don't. Yeah, even if I'm in a bar and I'm like sat chilling with my friends, and a girl walks up to me and just said, do you want to buy me a drink or something? And I'm just like, oh, this is like, I'm here with my mates. Do I now want to potentially say to the evening, okay, I'm just out to... Now,
it depends. It depends on the circumstance, like, and the context of what you're doing. Like, if I'm in a nightclub with my friends, no, leave me alone. Like, I want to hang out with my friends.
Yeah.
But, like, if you were in, like, a pub setting where it's, like, more social and chatty,
yeah,
then I wouldn't mind as much. So, like, when I was in Munich, yeah, I was in Munich. We were in a beer house and we were sat on a table. And obviously, there's three of us. Obviously, like, half the table was still free. So people would be like, oh, can we sit here? And they'd sit there. And sometimes it would be a group of guys. And they weren't, like, trying to chirps or anything. But we ended up getting into, like, long conversations with these people. So there was these three Americans that we were talking to for ages. And then we went to the next place with them and we carried on drinking with them.
Yeah.
But that wasn't them just trying to, like, hit on us.
That was just people being friendly.
They were just trying to be friendly. Then there were, towards the night when people were getting drunk, they were trying to hit on a couple of them. Mm. Well, a couple of our group.
Yeah.
But, like, yeah.
That rapport gets built if you've been hanging out a lot. And
yeah, but that's the thing. That's the difference between, a pub and a bar and a nightclub.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to a nightclub and someone tries to get with you, clearly they are just looking for sex.
Yeah, if they're trying to have a conversation with you, it's pretty cut and dry.
Yeah, like, there are some people who end up in a relationship from having a one-night stand from a nightclub, but I feel like that's few and far between, really.
Mm. Yeah, it is. I was always terrible at that sort of thing. Like, I never met anyone.
Oh, I very rarely have, like, hooked up with people after being in a club.
Yeah, well, no, I've never in a club, but, like, going out and meeting people, like a girl that I dated a while ago that you've met, I met her while out, but the way I met her was because she was with
my
mate's ex, but they were on good terms and stuff, and it was, like, Valentine's Day, and we were all just single, so we just kind of hung out at the same pub, and then that's how I met her. And it was like, that's fine, because a friend of a friend, when you're out and drinking, that's the social situation. That's one of the things that's really cool. When
it's complete strangers, it's just really weird. Claudia, my friend, once shoved me into a guy to get me to talk to him.
Did you talk to him?
Yeah, we ended up chatting.
Anything else? You don't have to answer that if you don't want to.
I feel like it's very obvious at this point, isn't it?
So it worked. yeah, I've never been shoved into a girl and, you know, anything good has happened. So, but it's
anything good has happened.
I've probably been pushed into a woman at some point in my life and messing around, but I don't think
not all those times before. You're messing around and you push into a woman.
No, someone pushes me into a woman. Oh. Getting pushed into a woman. But no, it's, yeah, dating now is odd, isn't it? Because, like, you basically have to.
I hate it. I hate Tinder.
I hate it. Like shit for, like, 90% of
it's
it.
Awful. I mean, literally, the only reason we met is because I re-downloaded the app because I was really bored one evening.
Hmm.
That's literally the only reason.
Yeah.
I had, at that point, deleted it because I was getting so pissed off with it.
Yeah, so I was on there and I was just like, there was some women who would match with me. And then
they just, I sent them a message
and they wouldn't respond. And it's like, sometimes I understand that if you're a girl and you go on there and you swipe yes to, like, five people.
It is a lot easier for girls to get matches than it is for guys.
It's a lot easier in that regard, but also I know that Tinder, like, one of you has to be the second one to swipe. Yeah. So if, for example, if you had swiped yes for someone else, if I got on Tinder a day later or something, and you swiped yes for someone else, and then you were just chatting with them, and you didn't go on the sort of swipey part of Tinder, then you...
swipey part.
I don't know what it's called, whether you find a match or whatever it is.
I didn't go on the swipey part.
You know, when you choose whether or not you say yes or no to them.
Yeah, like, well, you swipe left or right. Like, or
they,
up if
they may have
keen.
Already said yes to me, and then I say yes, and it's been too long, and they're already talking to other people, so they don't check their matches, their recent matches.
Yeah.
Because women, you see a lot of the things online with guys, where they just go, yes, 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 just all of them don't even look. And I was always one to make sure, if they didn't have a description, I just wouldn't even bother. Because
yeah, I'm the same. The embarrassing thing is when you go on Tinder and it says, there are no new matches in your area.
Yeah.
You completed Tinder at that point.
Yeah, I've got to that point before and I'm like...
Complete it, mate.
Great.
Or when you've ran out of swipes, you're like, oh, yeah. I hate myself.
Yeah, yeah, I've done both of those things before. But I did this when I ran out of swipes when I first used it because I didn't realise... There were swipes, right?
Yeah, and then you get the super likes and you're like, no, thank you.
Yeah, it's a bit weird, isn't it?
I really, really like your face.
Yeah. I did super likes by accident 4 times.
How do you accidentally super like?
Because it was, I'm trying to remember exactly where it was
just misplace your thumb.
It was either that or there was a shortcut where you shake it and it does super like. It was something weird like that, and I can't remember what it was. Or it was, maybe it was like one of the buttons, I can't remember. There was some sort of shortcut I seem to recall, and I did it like 4 times by accident.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, maybe it looks really desperate. But yeah, some of the people were cool, but like a lot of the time you'd have a conversation. And for obviously guys, I have to try and, as a guy, generally have to try and make myself seem really cool and interesting. And it's like, what they've written in their description. It kind of depends on what they...
It is shit. And sometimes you spend a nice, like, while making thinking of a really witty thing to say based on their bio, and they literally don't give a fuck. You're like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I found that. Because that's one of the things that surprised me the most with you. Like, I match with you, and then I think I was messaging someone
else. I was a keen little bean, and I messaged him right away.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, you're the only second person since me being on online dating, which I was on for a bit, and then I dated someone before you a while ago, and before her, obviously I was on Tinder, on a dating site, because I met her. So it's like, I've been for a few years since my last big relationship ended, I've just been on and off Tinder and Plenty of Fish and things. And it's like, I was talking to someone else and then you just popped up, and I have all that time, only one other person's ever messaged me first. I can't remember who it was.
I'm ballsy, mate.
You did it. I tried Bumble for a while, that fucking sucked.
I hate Bumble. I absolutely hate Bumble. Like, Bumble, I tried using, and I literally would send messages to people and I would get zero reply.
Yeah.
I'm like, if you are not interested, then why match me? Yeah. Like, what's the point? I think I got maybe one reply on Bumble at all, and I was like, oh, this is a pile of crap.
I got very few matches.
I know some people really, really like Bumble. Like, there's someone that I used to be friends with at uni that really liked Bumble.
My mate Alex, who's been on the podcast, he likes, he'd like Bumble. He said he's had a couple of dates due to Bumble. But me, I went on there and I matched with only about, there's no idea as many people on Bumble as around Tinder, but like, I matched with, I was on there for a couple of months, like 10 people, if that, and then about two of them, I think it was, two or three of them.
Because obviously the girl has to message first, doesn't she?
Yeah, two have messaged me, and then I messaged them back, and one of them responded to my message twice, and then and that was it, and I was like, Why is no one, why not message, why start? Like, there's one person I remember who said, had something in their bio about whatever, and I said something about it, and they sent back, not a question, or anything else at all, and I was like, where do I go from here? How are you? Yeah, I'm fine, thanks. What have you been up to recently? I just out with the girls.
Yeah, some girls don't really help, do they? Well, I mean, it can be guys as well, but guys do it too.
There's a girl who had four main points of her bio, and I remember one of them was chicken nuggets.
I mean, chicken nuggets are great. There was,
I think, some music, something, chicken nuggets, something else. And so I went through almost each of them as a conversation starter. And she didn't ask me about my preference of any of those things either. So it's like, oh yeah, I quite like blah, 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 because this song, blah, 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 is like that. Do you like, do you like blah, blah, blah? Yeah, I like blah, blah, blah. Okay. But, oh, I see you like chicken nuggets. Yeah, I had the share boxes once, and I had like 16 of them. Couple to my friend, I had 16 of them, and it kind of made me sick of chicken nuggets. And they're like, haha, I'd never be sick of chicken nuggets.
Fantastic conversation.
Like, what? And I just went for everything, and then I ended up with just saying, how are you? She's like, yeah, I'm fine, thanks. So
what's the point of even being on there?
What do you actually expect me to actually say back? Like, what could I actually genuinely say back in return to that? Like, there's some girl who put, I love Harry Potter and coffee. And so I said some sort of thing about Fantastic Beasts, because that was around the time it came out. And I was like, I saw Fantastic Beasts the other day. What did you think of it compared to the other ones? I didn't like it as much as the other ones, whatever. And then she was just like, yeah, I thought it was pretty good. I was like, okay.
I mean, first of all, you can see why that would have never worked out, because Fantastic Beasts is not good at all.
No, but I said I preferred Harry Potter to Fantastic Beasts, but I said, what do you think of it? And then also she said about coffee and things. And I was like, I saw this... Okay, it was some sort of Harry Potter themed drink or something. And that's quite a good little bit of a conversation piece. She gave like a one word answer, not asking me any question back, and I'm like, I can't have
some
a conversation
people, some people
me.
Just don't some people obviously like the attention of having people message them, but don't really care about that person, and therefore doesn't really care because she's got so many other people that she's messaging. And obviously I say she just because I am a girl.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming guys probably do this as well.
For the most part, it's a general different dynamic, but it is obviously not universal for one sort of person. We've hit an hour 30, so
we've hit an hour 30. This is a very powerful drink.
Yeah, that espresso was powerful. So we can wrap it up now if you'd like it, come to a nice impasse.
Yeah, I can start cooking our roast dinner.
You can, yeah, and I can then edit this and try and release tonight.
Yeah, like a 50s housewife, always doing the cooking, always doing the cleaning. I am.
You're not always doing the cleaning.
No, I'm never doing the cleaning.
I do the majority of the cleaning. Yeah.
I am always doing the cooking though, but that's because I love it.
You do, 9 out of 10 times, I'd say.
I'd say a good 98% of the time I do the cooking.
That's one in 50. That means like that's literally
it's
like,
one in 50. How do you come up with that so fast? How do you know that?
It was 2 of 100. Like you decimal, not decimal, fractions. If it's 2 is on the top and 100 is the bottom, you can halve them both. Mm. So it's 1 over 50.
Maths with Mike. You should do a segment called Maths with Mike.
No one would listen to that, and I'm not a good enough mathematician to do
it. Anyway.
That's so mean.
I'm joking.
I know. You see the numbers, but don't say them because I don't release them either.
The numbers are. Spoiler alert.
People can normally, you can see them on Podbean to some degree, but it's on many other podcasting apps and things, so it's like a not true number, but whatever. And I didn't go to Podbean till episode
And there's Mr. Ramble.
10 or 13. You're lucky, I love you.
Yeah. I am a massive pain in the ass, but we're Mike does are. Go on, so I've now started calling him Mr. Ramble.
It's good. It's a lot of fun times. Yeah. I'm really happy we had that recorded, and I'm not going to edit it out, so there we go.
Everyone can know.
Awesome. Well, thanks for coming on, Megan, and I'm sure I'll have you on again at some point in the future.
Yeah, I'll see you soon. It was nice doing business with you. I will see you next time we do a podcast together. Therefore, you will eat your dinner in a different room to me.
Forever, that's it. Forever. Until I can do
another podcast. Until we do another podcast.
Okay, deal. And that's the end of the podcast. Thanks as always for tuning in, guys. Obviously, we've just been talking about sort of in the chat, in more so part one, but also a little bit in part two, speaking about the tortoise and things. If you go on our Instagram at Genuine Chit Chat, it basically, there's a description in the show notes and things. Then you'll also see pictures and occasional videos of the tortoise as well. I'll post them on my story more so than post fully on Instagram and things. But yeah, you can always follow on other social media platforms, you know, like Facebook and Twitter as well, where I do post similar-ish things. Movie reviews and obviously little snippets of the show as well. So if you're like not a full-on listener who wants to listen to everything and you kind of listen to certain episodes that sort of intrigue you, it's a good way to sort of get into more of the back catalogue. There's the last several months, I think maybe even the last year now, have had snippets on them, just like 30 seconds to a minute long snippets on Instagram and Facebook. You'll mainly find them, but you can find them on Twitter, but it's just a lot easier to find them on Instagram, and Facebook has less sort of things blocking the way, like retweets and whatnot. So anyway, also coming up, I've got the gentleman who we had to reschedule last week's podcast to next week. He's a traveling author and things. We've got quite a few cool things to chat about. I've got my buddy Reese, who's been on Genuine Chit Chat many times. I'd say he was the first ever guest on the show on episode one. He also, he's been in several gaming ones and a couple of other ones as well. Like he's one of my best mates, and so it's good to have him on. He's going to come on before Christmas probably to chat about whatever, think about maybe some sort of questions, just like a idea of what is good and evil, maybe those sort of things. I've got several other guests lined up for January already, I'm thinking, and I've got more for the rest of the year to keep us going. Quite a few things in the pipeline. And also be sure to check out my show on the Brave Files. I went on there when this is coming out, it'd be the last episode, not the most recent episode, but I think it was like the second most recent episode that I guess it's on there. I spoke with my dad, and any long-term listeners will know that episode 24 is where I spoke with my brother Rob. We just discussed it. It's not necessarily that sad. It's we openly and honestly speak about him as a person and how it sort of how it was from him going, you know, from being fine to becoming ill and then passing away. So it's like it's one of those sorts of chats where it's quite deep in subject matter, but we don't like get really, really emotional and things like that in it. We just kind of take a balanced look at look on things. And then with Heather's Brave Files, it was more of a positive look on how it affected me and these sorts of things of how you go through it and stuff. So I love the Brave Files. Heather's been on this show as well, and all of our episodes are excellent. I regularly listen to them. It's one of my favorite podcasts, so you know, be sure to check out the Brave Files. There's a link in the description. Anyway, that's enough for me rambling, guys. Thanks as always for tuning in and stuff, and I'll talk to you next week.